Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, we have Wendy Crane with us to talk about her new book, The Scandal of Virginia Gray. Wendy opens up about her personal journey through infidelity, her 20-year marriage to Reese that didn't exactly start out like a fairy tale, and the healing process that followed. She shares the emotional experience of writing her book, which really allowed her to confront past traumas and find redemption. We discuss the importance of forgiveness, especially Wendy's unique relationship with Reese's ex-wife. Wendy hopes her story will offer hope and understanding to others in similar situations, emphasizing that healing and transformation are always possible through Jesus. To get the book and learn about some coaching services that they offer through their ministry, visit thesilentaddiction.com. That's thesilentaddiction.com. And for additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out some of the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening because, believe it or not, it really does help others to find this content. Now, let's dive into Wendy's amazing and hopeful story. Well, all right. We have Wendy Crane with us. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, I was excited to hear that you have a new book that is coming out. And in fact, it will already be out, I'm sure, in full force whenever this is actually aired. But it's kind of a cool approach to how to tell a story because it's kind of allegorical, or it's like this way to share a fiction story that is actually pointing to things that are true from your own life. Before we actually get into kind of the nuts and bolts of the story itself and the book and all of that, can you just let our listeners know a little bit about who you are and kind of what you're doing in your life today that is helpful to those who have experienced betrayal of some sort or just some of the effects of sexual brokenness in a marriage relationship?
Okay. My name is Wendy. I am actually married to the man that our beginnings were not so pretty. It wasn't the perfect, you know, we dated since high school. We were best friends. We, you know, that story that you always think is just this perfect picture of how you came together. You have such a beautiful history. And mine was not the case. Mine was one where I found myself entering into an inappropriate relationship. He was married at the time. And I came along in a state of brokenness myself and very much in need of like a void to be filled within me that I was inappropriately looking outside of God for. So our beginnings were one that were very messy, very ungodly, but through our very long story and through that transition that took place, we ended up together. So we now live in Florida, kind of way outside of where we met. We were both up in northern, in central Pennsylvania is where we met. But we're now down here building a life, building a home, as I think you're aware.
Yeah.
And we are just building a life surrounded now by God's redemption story in our lives. There's a lot that entails and a lot of variables, but that's where I'm at now. I'm rebuilding, I think. And in a place and living in Florida with all the hurricanes, people who live down here understand and who have been affected in the neighboring states what it means to rebuild. So my life right now is in a state of rebuilding. He's done so much thus far. But this book was something that he took me deeper in.
So. Yeah. Now, and so how long have you and Reese been married?
Well, we've now been, 2005 is when we were married. Yeah.
All right. It's almost 20 years. Well, and you know, we've actually had your story is kind of the whole story, you and Reese together and everything. The whole story is just kind of like movie material, to be honest with you.
I have to say that as well. Well,
because the outcome of your story is what is so non-typical. Because I actually had Reese on previously on the podcast with his ex-wife, and there's been like this redemptive thing in even all of you in terms of as couples, and even though your lives have moved on in with separate marriages, there is a sense in which God has done a restorative work overall in the entire family. And can you just speak a little bit to that? I don't want to get too sidetracked or go down too much of a rabbit trail, but I think because it's so unique, and again, like I said, non-typical, I think it's important for people to hear that there is, that God's grace has a redemptive quality to it that can cover all of the brokenness, not just one little piece of it.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, oftentimes when people do hear about our story, they're just dumbfounded. Their jaws drop and they're just like, their heads are spinning going, how is this even possible? You know, how we celebrate holidays together. We do things together that normally broken relation or broken families would not do. But it's just such a crazy and beautiful story of forgiveness and redemption and God's restorative power. I think what makes our situation so unique is that all parties that were either the offender and the victim in the story, so to speak. I mean, we all have a part to play and we all have issues that came to light that caused our situation. But is that all parties involved were willing to take a step back, to stop pointing fingers and being the accuser, and to just let God, let him move in us to bring healing so that we could work together for the betterment of the children's lives that were part of the story, as well as each other. And I often say that, and I think I allude to this in the book, that the betrayed spouse in this situation, Reese's ex-wife, she took the first steps in releasing me. For some reason, for her, in her story, and I'm sure if you recall maybe the interview with her, she touched on it, but she had an easier time forgiving Reese, the husband who betrayed her, than she did with me, because of who I represented in her life. A lot of times women will compare themselves with other women. We'll say, well, the other woman comes in and you manipulated the situation. You stole my husband. You are the one. Yeah. If it weren't for you, speaking of me, if it weren't for me, you know, like that person would have their marriage still.
Yeah.
But in this situation, I don't know if I can call her by name, is that, or if I should just continue to say Reese's ex-wife.
She's been on the program before, so I think you could.
I think she has given me full permission to do everything. So, but Sharon is her name. Sharon came to a point where she could say, Wendy, I release you. I forgive you. I don't, like, my feelings aren't lining up with this decision, but I choose to not hold you anymore in contempt for what happened.
Yeah.
And in her doing so, and in her verbalizing that to me, I then was able to start the process within myself. I could then start saying, I release myself. I forgive myself because of my actions. So it was something that I feel like she gave me, in her bravery to do so, gave me the ability to then take the next steps in healing for myself. So it's just a really incredible journey.
Yeah. So let's talk about your book then. So it's entitled The Scandal of Virginia Gray. And yeah. So first of all, let's just start there. I mean, that's quite a title. And maybe try to help us understand, what is that talking about? Why did you write this book? And also, why now? Why did you choose to write this book now?
Yeah, well, so let's rewind a little bit about probably 6 years ago, maybe. Sharon and I had been in discussions. We had come so far in our journey together, and now we call each other friends, that we started thinking, what would this look like if we both wrote a book about this together? So we started broaching the subject. I started to write my part. She started to write hers. And it was more of an autobiography. And I found that it came quite easily, actually. I was able to just kind of hash it out within a few months and got it all out on paper. And I sat on it then for a long time. And I had always wondered, what would it be like to write my story just a little bit more creatively? It read a little bit two-dimensional to me. Mm-hmm. And there are so many emotions involved in a situation like this, where you talk about infidelity and all the depths of emotion that go with it, that I felt like just my autobiography was just a little too flat. And I really wanted to bring out the emotions, the depth of what I felt in the midst of everything. And I felt like maybe creating a fiction would be more interesting. It would give me more creative liberty to just let those parts of me inside really come out. Mm-hmm. My writing style tends to be a bit more maybe flowery, poetic. So I was able to really infuse that with some of that creativity and put some of my poetry into it, put some just the more colorful aspects and the deep emotions. I was able to really express that in a way that I felt like I could write it perhaps as one standing back looking in at the story, but I'm looking in at my own life. Mm-hmm. And I really found such great freedom in that. I don't know why I sat on that for years, but one day as we had sort of a lull in the building project here at the house. So all the big projects were pretty much done, and now we started to do some nitpicking work. And so as I had some of that downtime, I felt like the Lord started to really work in my heart and say, I want you to pick that up again. So I'm like, okay, I don't know why, but I just felt this urgency. And I think probably the reason I felt that urgency was he had been doing so much in my life up to that point. And there was so much healing and forgiveness and ridding myself of the shame that's attached to the stigma of being the other woman. Mm-hmm. But I felt he wanted me to go deeper. He's like, I'm not done yet. There's still some triggers that are pushed in you. And I want that to no longer be the case. I want you to be able to talk about your life freely with no shame, no guilt, just... It is, it's not who I am, but it is part of my story. And I want to be proud of the fact, maybe proud's the wrong word. I want to glory in what God's done, because mm-hmm. it's phenomenal. And I want him to get the glory. I want his story of restoration to come out. So he was just working on me. I need one more onion skin layer to just come off. So I started to write the story again, this time from the perspective of Virginia Gray, who is the character that represents me in the story, and to show the ugly and the good. That's where the scandal is, the ugly, of course, the affair. It's a story of her journey through reconciling past transgressions, of experiencing God's healing through the traumatic wounds that occur in infidelity. And that's something that I didn't always recognize was the trauma that I experienced. Mm. amidst all of it. So I really had to go deep and touch on all those areas again as I was writing it.
Yeah. So I'm curious, is there anything, how did you come up with the name Virginia Gray?
Well, Virginia is actually my middle name.
Okay.
And when I was growing up, I had always envisioned a pen name that I wanted to write by. And Virginia Gray, for some reason, was just what I wanted to write under. And so I just sort of thought, let me resurrect a childhood dream.
Nice. So as you say, as God was having you pick this project back up, but pick it up in a new way and really kind of go more into the sort of the fiction novel. What did that stir in you emotionally in terms of as you're trying to construct these pieces of a fiction story, but that are connected to your own brokenness? And then what did some of those layers of the onion, as you put it, look like in this season of the continued healing in your own journey?
It was very surprising, actually, the amount of emotion I felt as I was writing this. I didn't expect it. But as I would write each scene, I would say probably, I don't know, 95% of it is true to form. I took creative liberty with settings and timelines and some characters, things like that. But what was spoken of her and her struggle in going through things, anything from the initial, the inception of what I call the forbidden or the turning away in the book, which was the moment of the affair, through just trying to maybe escape that for a while, wanting to get away from it and create some distance so that she moves away. But yet those things followed her. And I felt like in a way I was kind of mirroring that now. Mm. I moved away. Things were great. We're building a new life. Yet there's still something just hanging on me in the shadows, you know, something that I couldn't identify until I started writing it. And then the God just started showing me some areas where I could still be triggered, where it could still kind of take me back to old ways of thinking or just those words of shame that can come over you when you know that, you know, you revisit what you've done in the past. So it was just the emotions as I was journeying through, and even there's a portion of the book that's very near and dear to my heart. It was probably the most deepest struggle I've ever had personally, were my suicide ideation. Mm. I had attempted a few times, and one landed me in the hospital. And that season was so dark, but it was so rich with God's grace. And I touch on that in the book. And as I was journeying through those caverns again, it just, all the emotion would come out again, you know, all the memories would come up again. And as I released it on paper, I felt God's, just his overwhelming peace and his pleasure over me, his mm-hmm. joy amidst of it, that, you know, I'm proud of you for going through this.
Yeah, you know, as you're saying that, and maybe I'm wrong in how I'm thinking about this right now, but it's almost as if I get this picture that there are, you know, we talk about confession a lot, right? In just our Christian faith and even in our journey of healing and all of that. Sometimes we think of it only in terms of like confession of sin, right? Like I need to confess my sin. But confession is just agreeing with the truth. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's really what confession means. I think of like confession is saying, hey, if there's a dark room, you turn the light on just so you can reveal what's in there.
Yeah.
And it almost sounds to me like you're expressing the fact that there are even layers to that process, that there's more things to be revealed that maybe we're not able to see, or maybe it's not the time for us to see them yet or to look at them. So what did you feel like? On two fronts, what did you feel like that did for the book in the story, for some of those things to be coming up while you're doing that? But what did that look like for you in terms of specifically the relationships that you have? Like, how did a little bit more of that kind of release, or that, if I can put it this way, confession, the revealing of those things, what did that do, like, for your own marriage or for your own just faith?
Mm-hmm. I think that it sweetened it, you know, it helped me to really appreciate where I am now in those things, that I value the hard work that my husband and I have put into getting well individually and together. And really just coming to terms and being at peace with our past, mm-hmm. that it doesn't hold us captive anymore, but it can be just such a powerful tool of reaching others with a story of redemption, that Sharon has read the book. I gave her a kind of a copy beforehand. I wanted her take on it, and her feedback was such that it just brought me such, it just sweetened our relationship even more, you know. Mm-hmm. She's written a book herself. We chose to do them separately this time. Initially, we wanted to do it together, but and I think it's good that probably time, you know, it was God's way of doing it in our case. But I don't know. I think that maybe relationships just deepen a little bit more. Those roots just go a little deeper because the rocky soil isn't so hard to get through. He softens us as we continue to reveal those things, and the roots can go deeper, a little deeper. And or I can say now that, yeah, we can stand this. We can withstand this.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, these layers, as God in his providence and patience and long suffering with us keeps opening up those areas in us, it's like it deepens our humility. Yeah. Because we realize, hey, I don't know what I don't know. It also tends to, I think, deepen our faith, because we go, wow, you know, God is so faithful. You know, you're talking about years, right? I mean, this is years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here we are.
All the initial pain.
24 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, I love the fact that that communicates we're all in an ongoing journey. But I want to ask you about the book again, because here's the thing. Books are specific in the sense that they're not something that's merely for the author. Like, books are meant to be read. Now, your journal, or anybody keeps a journal, that's not public consumption, right? So there's a sense in which, and I'm sure you being a writer, because it's the off air, you were saying you do better with just, like, you love to put things into words on paper.
Right, right.
So I'm imagining you have journals, you have places where you just dump your thoughts and things like that on the paper. But right. This is different. You've chosen to write a book that you have the expectation that others are going to read. So as you were writing this, even though it's deeply personal, but yet it's a fiction, who did you have in mind as the reader? Who is this book for?
Hmm. Well, I guess I have two thoughts on that. Two audiences that I think perhaps could benefit from reading it. One is those who may find themselves in similar situations as I did. Perhaps they too have been identified as maybe the other woman in a situation that's, you know, in an inappropriate extramarital affair. So what I love for them to get from this is that, okay, there's hope. First of all, yeah, you find yourself in this situation. You might be caught in a flame addiction right now, where those deep seated needs are latching on. I say latch, and it just brings me back to this past weekend. Our neighbor had a newborn kitten, week and a half old, and they had to go away for the weekend, and they didn't know what to do with it because the mother rejected it. She asked if I could watch it, and I said, well, of course. Well, little did I know how much, how intense it was to watch this little thing and baby, you know, and bottle feed it and care for it. But as I was feeding it, and it was starving, it was ravenous. It would just go for that bottle and just latch onto it and suck it. And I thought to myself, that's in the midst of the throes of a flame addiction, I latched onto anything I could get. I mean, I was hungry for affection. I was hungry for someone to see me, to value me, to say I'm beautiful. So for the woman who finds themselves in those situations and they don't know how to break loose of that, I'd hope that they could gain first of all, give yourself some grace. God's got this and he can carry you through it. I would hope that perhaps my story could bring red flags up in them and help them make better decisions than I did. They have to go through their own journey though. In my case, I didn't heed the warnings and I had to go through some of the deep, dark stuff. But I would hope for that reader that they could gain some understanding, maybe have some self-reflection in their situations and cry out to God and find similar freedom. For the other set of reader, I would hope, now I know this is the hardest part because it is such a delicate dance with the woman who is being betrayed. It is my prayer that upon reading my story, that they're not triggered, that all that ugly stuff doesn't come slapping them back in the face, but that they could perhaps through God's grace find perception that everyone involved in their situation is hurting, even the woman who is the other one, that hurting people hurt people. And I think this is what Sharon was able to do in my situation. She could step back and go, okay, she's not the enemy. She's going through stuff too. And God was able to give her eyes of perception to see that. So it would be my prayer that if someone's in that situation reading it, that they could gain healing as well and be able to release people to God for their own freedom and forgiveness. So forgiveness is a big theme. Self-forgiveness is Virginia's story.
Mm-hmm.
But other people, hopefully, that forgiveness can ring true in the story for them.
Yeah, I think there's a reason that is the heart of the gospel. Forgiveness is because, just like you said, everybody involved in that kind of a situation is broken and in need of forgiveness.
Yeah,
from God, but also from each other. I mean, there's a sense in which unless forgiveness takes place, somebody's going to remain trapped in their brokenness. As we wrap up here, I want to just ask you, as you think about those who are maybe in various, who might be various players in this type of a scenario, what would be just maybe a message of hope to those who are feeling like, Wendy, on one hand, I hear what you're saying, but where my heart is right now, I just can't seem to receive that. I cannot seem to receive or even envision a future. So if you could even maybe go back to where you were feeling those same kinds of things, where you were even wondering, I don't know what, I couldn't envision where I am now, kind of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. What just one little thing, nugget of hope would you try to give to women, especially who are out there, whether it's the other woman or whether it's the betrayed wife? What would you want to say to them just to help them not stay stuck?
Well, there's so much, right? I guess I would just encourage you to don't sell short what God can do in you and through you. Just know that he is at work, even when we don't feel it, when we are at our lowest, when we're so hurt, when people have hurt us and offended us. We're not each other's enemy, but that there is hope. God holds us all, our hearts, in his hand, and he is able to make that pliable, and he is able to create out of the ashes something absolutely beautiful. And one of the scriptures is Ecclesiastes is that he makes everything beautiful in its time.
Mm-hmm.
that you may not see it now, and it may not be time yet. For me, it took years, decades, to finally be at a place. And he was so patient with me. God is so patient. He will not force us into areas we're not ready for. I wasn't ready. He knew that it would take me a long time to be able to talk about my story and be okay with it. And he was okay with that. So in his time, he made everything beautiful. And in his time, he will make everything beautiful in your life, in the betrayed spouse's wife, in the betrayer's life. He will beautify our ashes. That's our hope.
Yeah, that's so good. Wendy, this has been a great conversation. Where can our listeners and viewers go to learn more about the book or even just any other resources that you would want to share?
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I'm hoping that people take a chance and read the story. It will be out on Amazon. They can just look for it at The Scandal of Virginia Gray. And they can also go to the website. It's not my personal website, but it's the website through the Ministry of the Silent Addiction that my husband and I have. They can go to www.thesilentaddiction.com/scandal-book. So if they go to thesilentaddiction.com, they can just look on the tabs and find the scandal book, and there'll be information there. They can order it through me personally as well. I would love for that.
Well, Wendy, this has been so good. Thank you for being open, and thank you. You know, we want to thank God that he's brought you to this place where now you're at a place where you want to share your story with others, and God has brought you to that place. So thank you for being faithful in responding to his nudging in your life on that, so that others can benefit from the story that you have to share. So thanks for being with us today.
Of course. Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate the opportunity so much.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to share those links that Wendy mentioned in the show notes so that you can access the book. Highly encourage you to take a next step with that. That's our job here, is to help you take your next step to wholeness in Christ. And so please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.